I'm going to approach a sensitive subject this morning. Messages are interesting. We get to heaven to be interested to know why you have some of the feelings you have. Being a preacher for actually 40 years, pastoring 32, but I started preaching in my mid-20s pretty regularly. And having preached over the years, it'd be interesting to know some answers to some questions about why you feel certain ways at certain times. God knows things you don't know. This was one of those weeks where absolutely no question in my mind, very early in the week, God spoke to me to talk about anger. Admitting, recognizing, and letting go of anger. Don't know for sure what all I'm going to say today. Asking God to lead and guide me, and got a few things written down. But I think in our culture today, American culture as a Christian, this is something we've got to look at pretty plain in the face. Preached a message a number of weeks back entitled Anger Takes You Out, meaning that you can desire to walk in the Spirit and want to walk in the Spirit, but anger will take you out of that. And it isn't that when we get angry, and I want to talk about that in a second, anger isn't always wrong. That's a false concept. Anger isn't always wrong, so I want to come back to that. But when we, with wrong heart motivation, that's key, wrong heart motivation, we become angry, we take ourselves out of God being able to use us. Anger takes you out. And that's why it's very important. The devil will do everything he can to fill you with anger, make you angry. Because he doesn't want you walking in the Spirit, because it's not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit. And when you're led of the Spirit, phenomenal things happen. When you're led of the Spirit, significant things happen. As you walk in the Spirit and get to know God, you'll see things happening in your life that you didn't have happen before. It'll happen in a new level. And the devil knows that. And his kingdom is hindered when God's Spirit works. Let me say that again. The devil's kingdom is hindered when God's Spirit works. So he wants to take you out. And it isn't that God quits loving us. It's that wonderful dove of the Holy Spirit that's here on our shoulder, or better yet, inside our lapel in our heart. When that precious Holy Spirit is there, when I adopt an attitude of anger, it isn't that God quit loving me then. He loves me just as much as he did before that. But he's like, I can't be part of that. And when we lash out and we get angry, and that's motivated by the wrong things, God still loves us, but he can't be part of that. And so it's important that we look at why we're angry and what makes us angry. And I think this is a huge issue today, especially with the hurts people have grown up with. I think there is a tremendous problem in this area. Recognizing, admitting, and letting go of anger. Is this too loud? Okay, I'm getting used to it too. It's more surround sound than I'm used to. So I gotta use that. I sound like I'm several places up here. Ephesians 4:26 says, Be angry and sin not. There is an anger that isn't sin. And I think we just, before we go into anger and talk a little bit about why we're angry, and we're not going to cover everything today. We're going to cover the things I feel like God would have us cover. I've got 5 points I want to hit especially hard. It certainly isn't an exhaustive list, but things that have to do with our anger. But first it says in Ephesians 4:26, be angry and sin not. There's an anger that you can have that isn't sin. The idea exists today that if you ever show any anger, I've run into this as a preacher. If you ever show any anger, oh, that's way out of line. Hello, God gets angry. There's a righteous anger that's correct. There's things that should upset you. You with me? There's things that should bother you. I see somebody ruthlessly destroy somebody else. That makes me angry. There's a righteous anger. Jesus went into the temple and cleared the temple and overturned the tables and dumped out the money and said, my house will be called a house of prayer. Whoa, I thought all Jesus did was just talk about peace and love. And Jesus came into the temple and turned over the tables and said, you will not do this to my house. This came up in our mentoring group, and I think it was good for guys especially to think about a little bit. There's an anger that's, it says, be angry and sin not. There can be a sinful anger. There can be a sinful anger, that's for sure. There can be anger that is prompted by the wrong things, and it's demonstrated in a wrong way. But anger isn't always wrong. And I think it's important we're corrected on that. There's a false idea. Be angry and sin not. When I was a little boy, if you broke one of God's commandments, my mother came after you and she wasn't very happy. She wasn't singing, "Blessed are the peacemakers." She was ready to make war with you right now. I've been taken in the big bathroom we had there many times. She said, "You lean over that chair." And she gave me a spanking. Of course, we have all kinds of views of that nowadays. I'll not go there. But I want to tell you that when you broke one of God's commandments, I've seen her sit down with tears in her face, running down her face after spanking, and say, "Tommy, I cannot let you lie. Because when you lie, I have to answer as your mother to God." That's one of God's commandments. Conscience is formed. Hello? Conscience is formed when that happens in the home. Oh, could that be why we have no conscience nowadays? Could that be why we have no conscience nowadays? Conscience was building. And there were different levels of punishment depending on what we did. Oh, suppose that's a scriptural truth? Different levels of punishment of what we did. If you lost one of the socket wrenches, by the way, may I say that did you know that discipline does teach values? If you lost one of the socket wrenches, Daddy would take you aside and say, "Now, Tom, you need to be very responsible. When you use the half-inch socket, it goes back in this slot. Put it here." But you didn't get strong discipline for losing a socket wrench. But if you broke one of God's commandments, or you were disrespectful, or you lipped off to somebody, or you stole something, oh, my goodness, you couldn't sit down for a week. What did that teach Tommy? There's different levels of right and wrong. Nowadays, we have a world, oh, it doesn't matter if this, it's all big one jug of sin. It doesn't make a bit of difference if you tell a white lie, even though they're not white, but we say it that way. It doesn't matter if you tell a white lie or you have terrible moral depravity. It's all the same thing. That is absolute hogwash. And the reason I say it that way, that's a strong statement, because that is infiltrating and taking over our country, that kind of thinking. There was different levels of punishment for things. Under the law, originally, there was different levels of punishment. For certain things, there was huge punishment. For other things, there was less punishment. It builds conscience. It gives us degrees of right and wrong. There's an anger that's appropriate. And if you broke one of God's commandments and you told a lie, I'm telling you something. When you get off the bus at night, and I remember I got a whipping every night for 6 weeks. I was really ornery. And my sister, she thought it was her God-given responsibility to tell on me, Jessica's mother. Great to have Jessica and Jess and her family here. Miriam and I couldn't be closer. There is an adult brother and sister that are closer than Miriam and I. Miriam and I are just, we are brother and sister, we are close. But when we were kids, she was such an angel and I was such a brat. And she thought it was her God-given responsibility to tell on me. And she would even say to me, tears in her, it made me mad. She had tears in her eyes and she'd say, "I have to tell Mom." And I'd think, why? What's up? She had a conscience. She said, "I got to tell Mom. It isn't right if I don't. I'm sorry, Tommy. I got to tell Mom." And I'm like, "Oh, you shut up." Just irritating to see somebody that nice. I'm having fun with that. And if she was here, she'd be laughing because that is true. We've joked about it. She would tell on me. And I got a whipping every night for 6 weeks, grading period, every night for 6 weeks. I remember that because I remember Mom saying, "Tommy, when are you going to learn?" So if I seem a little strong-willed, bear with me. I'll get it. Might take 6 weeks, but I'll get it. There's an anger that's appropriate. There's an anger that's right, but there's also a zeal for righteousness that motivates a righteous anger that's becoming extinct in our world. Some things need to be upsetting. Oh, it grieves me to see somebody destroy another person. It concerns me when I see somebody degrade another person that's been hurt and abused, and they slander them and put them down, and they already feel like nothing. There's some things that it's okay for it to upset you. So, Let's get rid of the idea that all anger is wrong. Jesus, our Savior, became angry at the breaking of God's commandments and overthrew the tables. In John 6, it tells it three times. It must be awful important. John chapter 2, 15, Matthew 21, and Mark 11. Three accounts in the scripture of Jesus with his anger overthrowing the tables, saying, "You will not desecrate my Father's house." Now, if anger is rooted in malice, ill feeling, bitterness, jealousy, self-centeredness, "You don't do it my way, I'm mad." That's ugly. No, that kind of anger is wrong. Let me say that again. Rooted in malice, rooted in self-centeredness, rooted in jealousy, that kind of anger is wrong. So it's important that we establish that. We'll add to that as we go along. Two scriptures. "Be angry and sin not." I quoted that first sentence a little bit ago. "Be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Do not give the devil a foothold. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springing up trouble you and defile many." Powerful verses. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't go to bed mad. Don't let it take couples. Don't let anger take root. We're flesh and blood. Don't be too hard on yourself. American life isn't easy. People live under a lot of stress. People are sitting on powder kegs. People work for companies that are unreasonable. Greed has taken over. Greed has taken over. Used to, growing up, you could start any business. You could start a lawnmower business in front of your house and in 3 months be making money, and your neighbors all enjoyed the fact you had a business there. Now, governmental interference and all the stuff that had happened, and greed and large corporations driving out the small, you know the story, all of it. There's a stressful society that we live in. If you're here and you're a Christian businessman or woman running a business, you got a lot of stress. Spouses realize that. Things have changed. When I got out of high school, you could pick where you wanted to work. Lonnie, you probably remember this. You could literally pick where you wanted to work. Everybody was hiring. General Tire at Wabash was hiring. The Gypsum over there was hiring. Delco was going full blast. Chrysler was going. You could work a job and quit on Friday and have another Monday morning start. You could. I'm serious. When I got out of high school. And these were pretty decent paying jobs. We just switched jobs like change socks. You know, you didn't like it. Because the things have changed. And people under a lot of stress. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You're not going to always do it right. Anger's going to come in, but I think that this morning, if you'll let us be a surgeon and kind of look in and probe around here a little bit, let's do some exploratory surgery. You okay with that? Let's do some exploratory surgery, and let's kind of look at the things that upset us and why they upset us, and because I believe there is an anger that's rooted in sin that God can give us deliverance from. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Couples, don't go to bed mad. Don't let the anger take root. I want you especially to notice that Hebrews 12:15. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and defile many. Anger that takes root is dangerous. Listen carefully. Let me go a little farther with the couples here. I have rooted anger. Anger that takes root is dangerous. I believe that most adultery is rooted in anger. I've come to that conclusion over the years. I've worked with lots and lots and lots, and spent hundreds of hours talking to couples over the years. Worked with lots of couples where there's been infidelity and adultery. And I don't believe that most marriages split up over adultery. It starts with anger. Now, there's occasionally a huge lust problem or a person that has huge issues that haven't been dealt with, that it's just moral attraction and sin in that area. But I believe, I'm saying here, that rooted anger is dangerous. I believe that many times adultery is rooted in anger. I worked with a young man years ago that got caught up in unfaithfulness. I called to talk to him. He just brokenhearted. A young minister called to talk to me. And he said, Tom, I realized, because he knew Scripture. He said, I realized that this really wasn't about another woman. I got angry at my wife about 6 months ago. I got angry at my wife. And we weren't talking. And it got worse. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And it got worse, and we weren't talking, and we weren't communicating, and there wasn't much going there between us, and things were going south. And then he said, then the devil came along with the next option, because I'm hurting and we're alienated and there's anger between us. The next option is, here's some comfort. Here's some comfort. Because often sexual sin is rooted, rather than lust, is rooted in desire for comfort. Because in proper, appropriate sexual relationship, like God designed, there's a tremendous amount of spiritual comfort and the desire to be needed and all of that. God has made us marvelously. So unfortunate that the world has corrupted all of that and made it about other things. God meant for there to be a unity, not only physically, but spiritually. And anger blocks that. And I believe, I have in big letters, anger that takes root is dangerous. I believe that many times adultery is a result of anger. Angry at a spouse. And then the distance. The heart changes, hardness of heart toward each other, and then loneliness sets in, and then in comes temptation for comfort. And I think it's important that we look at that. Things that we're angry about or bitter that we need to admit, recognize, and let go of. Here again, as I said earlier, this list isn't exhaustive. There's lots that could be on here, probably 20, 30 things. But I said throughout the week, Lord, what's this group need? You know them, I don't know them. Psalms 139 says he knows us. He knows our thoughts before we have them. He knows everything about us. I trust that. So I'm going to go with the ones I felt this morning. Things that we are angry about or bitter that we need to admit, recognize, and let go of. Number one. Angry about our roots. It can be our parents. It can be our background. Our family situation. Forbid that it be abuse in our childhood, which leaves scar after scar after scar, that the Savior can deliver us from. Had a guy, he doesn't come here to church, had a guy a number of years ago, probably 15, 20 years ago, that I made friends with. Did some things with, was trying to help him. I kept asking myself, what in the world is wrong with this guy? What in the world is wrong with this guy? You talk about sitting on a powder keg. Man, I mean, you could just bump it real easy. I've seen this guy react in ways, and I'm thinking, what in the world is going on? You talk about a powder keg. You talk about explosive. My. I'll not go into it. But I saw him react in certain situations and even mistreat things and people, and I was intrigued by what's going on because I felt within him was a spiritual desire to get on track, and there was a desire within him to be a godly man. And I thought, man, we got to get to the bottom of this. What's the root of this thing? What it certainly wasn't a zeal for righteousness. It was anger. It was rooted in the wrong thing. He was angry all the time, only to find out it was revealed to me in a conversation sitting by a campfire. As we sat together by a campfire and we were getting better acquainted, and I was praying for him and asking God to help him, because I felt sorry for him. And I saw that he was a leader in his family. I saw that his siblings all kind of looked to him, and I thought that was kind of interesting. And that's one reason I was intrigued by him, because he seemed to be so full of rage, but there was a side of him. He was very helpful. His younger siblings would come to him. I mean, he was more like their father than their brother. And he would just come to their rescue and do things for them. I mean, he'd take a whole day off and fix his sister's car. I mean, he's just a good-hearted guy. And I'm thinking, what's up with this guy? He's just sitting on a powder keg all the time. And boy, you don't have to do much to bump it. And we were sitting by a campfire one night. I just innocently began asking a little bit about his childhood. And when I asked him about his father, I saw in the campfire light, I can still see it in my mind, I saw his jaw stiffen. And he said, well, that SOB wasn't around very much. And he grit his teeth, and I even saw him do this with his hands, and I thought, there it is. That's it. Now, I don't even like to spell that stuff. The killed kids are upstairs. I don't even like to spell that stuff. I want you to get a feel. I saw his whole demeanor change when he mentioned his father. And as I began to probe into that, I found out that they had a horribly abusive father. And he used to step in and stop this son that was my friend, used to step in and stop fights and let his dad, when he was drunk, beat him up to save his sisters. Man, that's painful. I felt so sorry for him. And then I felt ashamed that I had been upset with him and critical of him, because I realized that he had taken a lot of abuse to spare his siblings. But he hated his dad. He hated his dad. You gotta let it go. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Why should I let it go? Why did Jesus let it go? Jesus took our sins. They weren't his. He took the sins of the world on himself. He died of a broken heart. Why did he do that? The love of God goes beyond the farthest star and reaches to the lowest hell, the song says. The love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. The second verse of that song says, if we with ink, it's Old English, so hang with me, but it's a great poem. And it was found written on prison walls. If we with ink, it was found written on the walls of an insane asylum. That's what makes it so awesome. Somebody that discovered the marvelous love of God in an insane asylum. And these words were found pinned on the wall. If we with ink, the ocean filled, completely filled the ocean with ink. If we with ink, the ocean filled, and would the sky a parchment make. So we got the ocean full of ink, and we got all the sky to write on. And every stalk, imagine just the corn stalks in Indiana. Every stalk were made into a quill, a pen. And every man was a scribe by trade. To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. The love of God, somebody got it. Somebody in that insane asylum connected with the love of God. I'm not enough man to grasp all that. I want to be like Jesus more, and I want to be alive. I want to be like Jesus more, and I want to be alive. But I haven't got that. I haven't arrived to that. I don't love people to that degree, but I love them a lot more than I used to. And you can let it go. You can let it go, and you're not going to be free if you don't. Hate and bitterness is a prison of its own. And I've seen people that had fathers that were horrible, 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 horrible. And they've busted out of it. And they've let it go. And they had a tender compassion to people. And they had an ability to minister because they became a wounded healer. The best healers are wounded healers. That's the best healers. But some of us have never admitted it. You got to admit it. And I saw some progress in this man's life when he said, my father was an awful man. I don't know what was going on with him. I don't know if World War II messed him up or what, but he was an awful man. And I saw this man find some victory, and I'd like to see him go farther than he did. But he made some progress. Things that we're angry about, that we need to admit recognize and let go of? What is it that you need to recognize and let go of? Bear with me, some of you that have been with me for years and years, and you're my faithful partners and stuck by us. You've heard me preach on this subject various times. You might say, Pastor, I've heard that, yes, and there's people now that need to hear it again. Because this is huge in our culture today. We grew up in an industrial age, and we grew up when parents were way too busy. You know my story. I was very angry at my father. I had a great father. My father wouldn't dream of doing some of the things that people do. My father was a very good father, but yet everybody has their cross. I have written in my Bible, be kind to everyone you meet, because everyone is carrying a cross of some kind. Be kind to everyone you meet, because everybody's carrying a cross of some kind. And due to loneliness and feeling left out, and I was very angry and bitter at my father. First thing that happened when I came to the Lord, the truth sets you free. I wrote my father a letter. That's one of the first things I did. I wrote my father a letter and told him I was sorry for being so bitter and trying to destroy his name in the community. I wasn't only mad at him. I tried to destroy his name in the community. My dad had a great, very, very highly recommended or very highly esteemed by the public, and rightly so. But I had personal issues with him, and I was out to destroy his name as a young man. Angry at our roots. I'm only going to stay, there's a lot to be said, I'm only going to stay on those until I feel the Lord releases me and I'm ready to go to two. Angry about our present circumstances. I think this is huge. I think this is huge. I talked to someone the other day, getting old, takes longer to kneel down, Mike. I talked to someone the other day. Here's what they said. They said, I'm 47 years old and I got nothing. I've been through 4 marriages. I got nothing. I've worked, wore myself out. My body's tired. I feel like I'm 70. You know the danger of that? You can get angry at your present circumstances. Life beats you up sometimes. Sometimes you don't make good decisions. And you can get angry at your present circumstances. And I think that really fits us. I think there's a whole lot of us in Miami, Cass County, and American culture that we're mad at our present circumstances, and we got a chip on our shoulder. We don't know why, and somebody needs to call it, but you got to admit it. And maybe you haven't seen it. Maybe you just didn't see it. Sometimes people just don't see it, and then when somebody, they're like, oh, yeah, that's me. I've had people come to me after service and say, that's me. You know me? That's me. I'm angry at my present circumstances. I should be farther along. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I want to tell you something about Vince. I appreciate Vince in many ways, like I appreciate all of you, but I want to pick on Vince this morning. Vince burned up 25 years of his life in a false reality. He lived in the false. He said this, he said up here, so I'm not out of line. Plus, he's my assistant. When he's your assistant, you can say things about him. They can't fire you because they're your assistant. Vince is a dear brother. Vince has said to me, I lived in a false reality, the false reality of drugs, 25 years. He said, Tom, Andre, they're about the same age, has a big, beautiful home, and he's been in the workforce and had money in that. I was in prison. But he said, man, I like my trailer. I got out of prison. And for almost 50 years old, most people have a home and got it partially paid for. But I've always been intrigued. He's so thankful. I'm not trying to glorify Vince, but this is just a good example, so why waste it? It's God in his life. But I've noticed that about Vince. He's so grateful. I don't have new cars, and Gail and I, we have an older trailer on acre ground, but I shouldn't even have that much. I wasted 25 years. Of course other people my age have more than I do. They've been in the workforce all those years. Grateful. A lot of people are mad at their circumstances. I'm 40 years old and I haven't got nothing. Let it go. Maybe you wasted it. You're serving somebody that can restore the years the canker hath eaten. The scripture says that the Lord can restore the years the canker worm has eaten. You can accomplish more in 4 or 5 years walking with the Lord than you did 50 on your own. Besides, America's got success misdefined anyway. It ain't about boats and cars and homes, and that's not what it's about. If God's given you some things, be grateful for it. I'm grateful for changes I see in myself. I appreciate the stuff I have more than I ever have, but I'm less attached to it. I found that out at the fire. John Minglin, the fire chief, Macy Fire Department. Macy, New Waverly. Fire Department. House was burning. He walked up to me. He said, "Are you okay? You okay?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You sure?" I said, "Huh?" He said, "You're not in shock?" I said, "I don't think so. I'm okay." He said, "You're about the calmest homeowner I ever saw." I'm not saying that popping off, but that encouraged me because I realized that I was deeply appreciative for things God gave me, but I was less attached than ever. I enjoy my motorcycle more than I ever have. But if you call right now and said the garage is on fire, I'll finish this message. You don't mess with that. I don't mean that ungrateful. I don't mean that flippant. That less attached than I've ever been. A lot of us are mad at our present circumstances because life hasn't been easy, and we've made some poor choices, and we've messed up some relationships. Hello, one of the things was admit it. Did you see that on there? Admitting, recognizing, and letting go. There's a reason I have those words. Admitting and recognizing. We got to face the fact that maybe we've done poorly. Maybe we've done very poorly. Maybe our decisions have been horrendous, and maybe we were slower to grow up than everybody else. Some people, it's harder to get through to them. Maybe we were like me, and you had to hit your head on the same pole 5 times, you know? Got to let it go. Angry at present circumstances. I have here, you got to forgive yourself. God forgive you, that's the easy part. I don't mean easy in the sense the death on the cross was gruesome and difficult, but I'm saying that the coming to God's easy. He's offering it to you. He's anxious to forgive. He's anxious to forgive. So that's the easy part. But if he'll forgive you, man, you got to be able to forgive yourself. Let it go. Start thanking God for your trailer. Yeah, if you'd have been in the workforce 20 years instead of prison, you probably would have a fancier place, maybe. I don't know. Who cares? That ain't what it's about anyway. But I think a lot of times we're angry at our present situation. You got to forgive yourself. Have faith in God's ability to restore it. He'll restore those years. Lord, could I please have back what I lost? Sure, son. Prodigal son. Now, remember the negotiation in him he planned when he came back? I'll just live out in the shed. And I realize I goofed up. And, you know, the where you keep the mower, we'll sleep there beside that. Father said, get in here. Get the band. Kill the fatted calf. My son has come home. God is about restoration. Quit fussing over all your mistakes. Please take that from me. I don't mean that to be insensitive. But some of you are roadblocked with, I blew it. Let it go. God's got a clean slate, and he can give you a beautiful life ahead. But you can't lick your wounds all the time. Oh, please don't think that's insensitive. You don't know how I'm tormented with that sometimes. That's why I have migraines. Because sometimes I'll go back over things. I admit it, I'm anxious at times. I'll go back over things I had messages, and then people's faces will come to my mind. I'll think that person probably thought I was insensitive to what they've gone through. We have people in our congregation who have gone through horrible things in their life. I don't mean that to be insensitive. Please don't take that wrong. But I do think if God will forgive you, you got to forgive yourself. And you have to have faith in God's ability to restore and choose. It's a choice. Choose to be grateful. Man, I like my trailer.
Well, heaven's sakes, Andre, he's same age as me. He's got this. Jealousy can be the root of anger. I see that a lot in the body of Christ. Man, I don't know why they think they are. They don't think they're anybody. Maybe they just managed a little better than I did, you know?
whoop-de-fizz. I mean, that's, we don't all, we're not, we're strength, we have strength in different areas. When I was younger, I was a horrible money manager. Horrible, horrible, horrible. Pretty good now. Ought to be 60. Let it go. Devil loves, the father of lies, let's call it, okay? The father of lies likes to back in a corner. He's the accuser. You weren't this, you weren't this. Accuser. The accuser of the brethren, the scripture says. You weren't this, 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 you weren't this. And we buy it and say, okay, I guess I'm not. My boat's sunk. When God wants to give us new life in Christ. Please don't let anything I said strike you as insensitive. Anger over personal failure. These are all tied together, obviously. Anger over personal failure. And I've pretty much covered that, but personal failure. We've all got them. Man, I wish I was as good a dad as I was a, I mean, I wish I was as good a dad as I am a grandpa. Anybody else like that? I'm a pretty good grandpa, I think. I don't know, I better be careful the other grandpas are in here. Maybe they don't think, I think I'm a pretty decent grandpa, but I wish I'd have been as good a dad. But you know what? I'm older now. I'm more sensitive. I notice the little things, and I'm getting a kick out of seeing some, just a little exit ramp here. I get a kick out of seeing some of you become grandpas, guys. Some of you that I've known for a long time, and now you're grandpa. I see a whole new side to you, and it's cool to see. But you're going to make some mistakes. Personal failure. Let it go. Let it go. You got a child out there that you know that you didn't handle right? Let the master designer, let the master designer help you with it. Humble yourself and go to them and say, I've done it. I've done this. And said, you know what? When you were 13, 14, I was way too busy. I missed some stuff going on in your life. I should have done better. Kids are so forgiving. You won't believe it if you do that, how they'll react. Kids are so forgiving. But so many people live with turmoil and anger because they won't say, they won't humble themselves and say, sweetheart, I'm sorry. I wasn't there for you like I should have been. Let yourself cry. It's okay. My mom and dad used to sing a song called He Washed My Eyes with Tears So I Could See. He washed my eyes with tears so I could see. That was a neat old song. And I think a lot of times when we go ahead and let those emotions show and let God wash our eyes, then when we're done crying, we can see clear and so can they. It's a wonderful day when you let go of personal failure. I used to beat myself up. I had two wayward boys out of four that were pretty wayward. You wouldn't believe. I went to the church at Chapel Hill. And we were running 450 in attendance, and I went to the church board, and I said, I need to resign. And they said, why? I said, I must be clueless. I must be the most clueless person in the world. I'm a minister. I'm supposed to know what's going on. I'm supposed to be able to counsel other people and give people counsel, family counsel. And a board that was gracious looked at me and said, no, we're not going to accept your resignation. We believe you're doing your best. And so I took a different approach. Instead of being on the defensive and feeling self-conscious, I got up the next Sunday, and God spoke to me to do this. And I'm so glad I did. I got up the next Sunday in front of the entire congregation, and I said, well, you've all heard rumors about my boys. They're probably true. Well, you could hear a pin drop in there. I said, they're probably true. Some of it's probably my fault. But we want you to come in with us and pray for our family. Will you do that? And I started to cry. I think 300 of the 450 came to the altar. And I saw the church work together. I saw the body of Christ come together and care about their pastor's family and begin praying for our kids. And then there wasn't all the criticism. It started melting us together. And some of you sitting out there that I see were instrumental in helping my boys. And I saw the body of Christ do what they do. But it starts with admitting personal failure. We didn't do everything right. And I think many times we're angry over personal failure. Anger over personal weakness. Ooh, my time. Anger over personal weakness. And here again, there could be 20 or 30 points that are more theological than these, but these are the ones God gave me, so they must fit our group. I think sometimes we can resent weaknesses we have. I want to say something about that. I have a son that love more than I can put in words. And he would tell you this, and I've heard him tell it in a testimony. And he said it was a great day in his life when he owned up that he had a personal weakness. And he owned it. You can resent it. Oh, I always do that. It makes me so mad. I always do that. Why am I that way? I don't know. Because that's how my mom and dad were, and I'm a Robbins, and that's how I'm wired. You know? Let it go. We can resent the way we are. That might seem like a small point to some, but that isn't. I've spent hours talking with people over the years, and I've come to the conclusion many times, you need to accept who you are and how God made you and see the beauty in it. Instead of resenting, well, why am I this way and why am I this way and I don't like this and I don't like this. Hello, that's who I am. Hello, that's my chemistry. Hello, that's how I'm made. Robbinses are addictive, so we got to be real careful. Long line alcoholics in our family and outlaws, and so we just got to be careful. And I can just be mad about it all the time. Why do I have this weakness? Why do I have this weakness? Hello, I have this weakness. So let's draw some borders to protect us from that weakness. And let's be grateful to the God who can help us through that weakness. And I found that you can become incredibly strong in areas you used to be weak in. Does that make sense? Deep unmet need. I think this often happens in a marriage. And unfortunately, if I can just take a little time for marriage counseling here for a second. Couples, be careful in the child-raising years. Everybody needs a piece of your time. Everybody needs a piece of your time. Everybody, school, work, kids, activities, everybody wants a piece of your time. Only so many slices in the pie. It's real easy to live with unmet need. You're lonely, you lack companionship because you're running everywhere, you're gone. Schedules take us all different directions. And we become angry over unmet need. I'm tired of feeling this way. I don't know how many times I've had people say it to me. I'm tired of feeling this way. I don't want to feel this way anymore. I'm sick of this. This always happens. I've felt this way for 10 years. Anger is the gateway to a lot of other things. I don't think most marriages split up over adultery. They might end that way, but I think they start with anger. Unmet need, take time for each other. It's not easy, but that's critically important. I need to close. Get rid of anger. This will be my last comments, because I'm kind of getting better at knowing when I've said enough. You may not always agree with that. Anger is the gateway to other things. Get rid of anger, Ephesians 4. Anger is the gateway to other things. It's the gateway to bitterness. Anger rooted within us, we become bitter. Interesting that passage I read right at the beginning says a root of bitterness that will defile many. What is a root? Well, you dig away the dirt around the big tree in your backyard and you notice that there's fingers going out every direction. There's the roots, and they say the roots go as far as the limbs. Beware of a root of bitterness. Why does it call it that? Because when anger takes root, it goes out every direction. It'll affect everything. It'll affect your job. It'll affect your children. It'll affect your spouse. It'll affect your grandkids. It'll affect your great-grandkids. It'll affect your neighbors. It'll affect everything. It's a huge issue. Huge issue. Recognizing, admitting. I think that's especially hard for men. Recognizing, admitting anger, letting it go. Sometimes it's instantaneous. Sometimes it's a process. It's kind of like physical healing. I don't understand all the ways God works, but I have seen people that were angry as could be, and they just broke free. They came and presented themselves to God, and they said, I don't know what happened that Sunday, but I was different after that. Their wife said they were different. Sometimes it's instantaneous. I've seen other times where it was a process, and I don't try to understand that stuff. I think many moves of God are that way. There's value in the process. Sometimes he uses the process. Sometimes he does it instantly. But letting go and saying, Lord, I recognize, I admit and I recognize I have this and I need you. And do this every day. We come into this world gripping. God wants us to let go. Lord, I would encourage you tomorrow morning to start your prayers with, Lord, I'm not sure. The pastor hit on some things made sense. I'm not real sure what's going on with me, but you know me, and I got anger. Will you let it go? I know this works, and the reason I can preach on it with passion is because when I was young, I was an angry guy, and I had a root of bitterness. And I know it works because I don't feel the same. It's not anything I'm putting on. It isn't like, well, I learned more stuff. I don't feel the same. I just don't feel the same. It's different. And I know that these principles work. But many times it is a process. Don't become discouraged. But the key is admitting, recognizing, and coming to God and giving it to Him. Anger is the gateway to other things, bitterness, moral sin, tainted spirit and attitude, and deafness to God's Spirit. The precious Holy Spirit, who more than on the shoulder, I'd rather do it this way, is the presence within us that's with us everywhere we go. Why is anger critical? Because when I get angry, it's rooted in selfishness and, oh, my jaw's clenched like the guy at the campfire. The precious Holy Spirit wants to still speak to me, and He calls to me, but He can't be part of that. He can't be part of that. And that applies to a lot of things. You can't turn on the computer and go to those websites that the dove, precious Holy Spirit, He's within you. We're temples of the Holy Spirit. And when we make those choices, He has to say, oh, I love you. I care about you. He doesn't disown us, but I can't be part of this. I can't be part of this thinking. And we distance ourselves from the Holy Spirit and His call. Anger is the gateway to bitterness, moral sin, tainted spirit and attitude, and deafness to God's Spirit. And when the gentle dove of the Holy Spirit calls us, we can't hear it anymore because of our anger and bitterness. I need to close. Thank you for being so attentive. I think that's everything I had on there, yes. Sensitive topic. I hope you'll think on it and pray on it. Forgive me if I've been offensive in any way or it's been perceived that I was insensitive. I've had people even say, not to my face, but I've had people say, I can't believe if he knew what I went through, he'd understand. No, I think I've heard an awful lot of the stories, but I know that these principles work regardless of the depth of the story, but in no way do I mean to be insensitive. But we have to come to a place where we let it go, because you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Let's stand together for prayer. Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you for the music, the altar time. I believe you visited us this morning, personally felt your presence. Be with us as we go from this place. Thank you for the many blessings. Watch over those of our group who are traveling today. Many gone today. May your hand be on them. Bring them back safely, we ask. Now may the grace and love of our Lord Jesus Christ cover us and be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.